This episode of The Instance is sponsored by the Nighthawk Pro Gaming Router from Netgear. Let's face it, network traffic and online connectivity matter, especially when you are gaming. Save the competition for the game and stop competing with your router's bandwidth. The XR500 Gaming Router creates an express lane just for your gaming, giving you incredible speed and no lag. Nighthawk Pro Gaming gives you the power to win. Visit netgear.com/npg and join the no-lag crew.
I'm Ghostcrawler, I am totally off the leash, and you are listening to The Instance.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode 541 for, November 30th, 2018. You got like a day left. Don't we have a 31st this month, do we? I don't know if we do or not. Maybe we do.
30 days have September, April, June, and November.
Oh, look. You look at you with your remembering of your school days, fancy boy. anyway, speaking of fancy boys, we're all here. It's me, Scott Johnson. Hi, and welcome. Also, Garrett, you heard him a second ago. Hi, Garrett. Welcome to the show.
Can we have an Instance shirt made that just says The Instance Fancy Boys since whenever the year was that this show started?
Yeah, I like it. 2006. So Fancy Boys since 2006. I'm into
it. I like
it. Yeah, I like it a lot. We could do that. Even applies to Patrick. He was sending in those weird mod things, add-on segments. We could include you in that. You're a fancy boy.
Sure. Yes. Although, you know, fancy boys does sound a little bit, I don't know, like a gigolo or something. I'm not sure.
What?
Like yes. Like don't you think?
Well, a little bit.
You must have really fancy gigolos.
I mean,
wherever you're living.
Somehow gigolos seem like they would be fancy. I can't, you know, imagine not. I don't know. Maybe that's my personal taste. It might be. I don't know.
I like it. I like this idea of a fancy gigolo wherever you go. Anyway, it's good to be here, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. Terpster's busy preparing a giant charity drive they do every year over the Yogg's cast. So he's going to be pretty incognito for a few weeks, I'm afraid. But that's kind of how it
works.
Yeah,
it's like his excuse for not coming and hanging out with us is making the world a better place.
Yeah. Raising.
How super elite of him. Like he's shoving it in our face, being a better person than us. That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's almost as bad as when that French dude on the show always makes that excuse that he has some sort of child to take care of.
Right. Exactly.
I know, right?
Parenthood.
It's unacceptable.
What a lousy excuse. Actually, it's the best of excuses because, hey, we're here to make the world a better place. And if it's through Terpster's hundreds of thousands to 1.5 millions, or if it's Patrick changing a diaper, one step at a time. And part of that is us talking about World of Warcraft and related things happening at Blizzard. In fact, we should just jump in because I got this thing I want to talk about. So it was this kind of bombshell article thing that showed up on Kotaku.com that... from what I hear somewhat internally from some friends is wildly inaccurate in some ways. All that being the same, the part that jumped out at me is the thing I want to talk about today. We could go deep on, you know, cultural shifts at Blizzard and the changing of the guard and their, you know, the incubators and all their best designers on mobile projects right now.
I have thoughts.
Yeah.
I have thoughts.
And I want to hear all the thoughts, but one of the thoughts we have to talk about is this rumored project they have in the works that is basically Warcraft Go or Pokemon Go style Warcraft, some sort of mobile Warcraft game where you go outside and capture something. I don't know what it would be. Probably not pet battles, but probably something more akin to something more to do with Warcraft. We have precious little detail on a thing that is purely rumor anyway, but I want to talk about that.
My friend suggested catching Arthases.
Oh, I like
that. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I have a shiny Arthas. That's awesome.
Actually, rare. I would not be opposed, by the way, to this idea that it's all raid bosses from every raid ever. So they're little teeny versions of them, little cute versions of them. But you can't just have them all be Arthases. That's no fun. You got to catch them all. Oh, I caught one. Okay, I caught all the Arthases.
This is pretty one-track minded, but the Kotaku article that you are referencing brings up about the only thing in the article I can confirm, yes, this is true, is how obsessed everyone is at Blizzard with Pokemon Go and having control of the gym that is the orc statue outside.
Yeah, no, it's huge.
So if I use that as my one track mind, I would think they're probably going to make something that's kind of battling over real world fortifications a la Pokemon gyms,
yeah,
whatever form that takes. Who knows? But basically, imagine Pokemon Go with only two factions instead of three. You've got Horde and Alliance instead of the kind of trifecta that Pokemon Go has.
Yeah. Or my theory about the undead, the Forsaken, becoming the third faction.
Mm. That's not going to happen. As awesome as it would be.
You know, it'd be
too
awesome.
Too much work.
I agree with you. I totally agree that it's too much work and it's probably not going to happen, but I still pine for it in my heart.
I think it would be a better story if they did that.
Yeah. I kind of do too. Well, actually, we're going to talk about that later in the show too. But here's the thing. They are obsessed with it over there. And there is a history of Blizzard being obsessed with a certain thing and then going after that thing. They were obsessed with EverQuest and they said, let's make ours. So they made one. They were obsessed with Magic the Gathering and they said, let's make ours. And they literally made a physical CCG and then later Hearthstone. Like they get obsessed with a thing and then they go for it. You could argue that certain members of the team's obsession with Pokemon in general and Nintendo in general led to things like pet battles, very specifically for a couple of people we know working there who were sort of in charge of all that. So they have a history of this. I know that Pokemon Go is ridiculously popular. Go ahead.
It's more than a history. It's the way they work, the way the company decides what, or at least maybe it has changed now, but it's the way they decide what game they're going to make next. When they finish a project, they get together with the team and they discuss what they would like to do next. And very often, as you've described, it is the games that they're obsessed with at the moment that they think they could bring something to. And Schreier's article even specifically names Corey Stockton being lead on that Pokemon Go-like project. And that's a surprise to no one who knows him. We were joking for, I don't know, months that he would probably want to get a game on the Switch just to work with Nintendo. I guess his love for Nintendo found other ways of expressing itself. Sure. But they also say that the game has more game in it than just Pokemon Go. And I think that's important, hopefully, because to be honest, I have no interest in Pokemon Go. I'm doubtful I would have an interest in any mobile game, but I'm ready to have Blizzard change my mind. And if I will be interested in it, it needs to have more than just capturing things. It needs to have more single-player game, or, you know, whatever, multiplayer, but some actual gameplay stuff. And apparently it does. Yeah. So
that's the talk. Yeah. So if that's the case, do you think that having it be directly tied into WoW somehow is a requirement here, or do you think this can stand alone and not have, you know, not have some kind of connective tissue to WoW or to Warcraft in general?
Well, it would be the same IP, but I don't think there would be interactions or not many interactions between the games. I have no knowledge about this, but right. I think technically it would mean that the two need to be moving in unison. And knowing how Blizzard doesn't want to be tied to a schedule for any of their games, it would be difficult to coordinate the two. But so my suspicion would be no interaction, but who knows?
Yeah. Gary, you agree with that?
I've kind of moved away from that kind of always thinking new Blizzard things will tie into other Blizzard things because of Hearthstone. Mm. When the TCG existed, we had loot cards. It was a big draw out the gate for a lot of people to kind of get invested, go out and buy some cards. If you remember when Hearthstone was announced, we're all like, oh my God, we're going to get digital loot cards. Yeah. It's totally happening. Confirm 100%. Mm-hmm. And they never came. It never happened.
They never did it.
They've had some cross game promotions, but nothing that's like one-to-one tied in. So I think Hearthstone has proven that again, even though it's not 100% mobile, it clearly was built with mobile in mind.
Yeah.
That mobile efforts by Blizzard do not have to tie into their PC counterparts.
Right.
I don't think, you know, I can't confirm this 100%, and it's kind of a side thing, but I don't think it was built with mobile in mind.
Mm.
It's been in development for a long time.
You mean Hearthstone?
I don't think it would.
Well, yeah, they probably at some point had I mean, certainly they did because they did it, but it was probably relatively early in the near alpha stage where they were like, you know what, this could play well on mobile. Let's put that on the board, you know?
Yeah, but I think originally it wasn't even, mobile wasn't really a thing when they started. Mm. It was, but I mean,
anyway, not the thing it became.
It is still the closest thing to any of this mobile conversation that we're having. It's still the, for lack of a better term, the smallest scale game we've seen come out of Blizzard in modern years.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, until this very controversial Diablo thing hits, it's absolutely holding that position. And by the way, this article comes in sort of the shadow of the all the Diablo talk and the outrage about mobile Diablo and people being pissed about.
Putting it mildly.
Yeah. I mean, that's what
it is. The focus is what's happening with Diablo.
Yeah. The focus is that.
Surgically crafted to cannibalize on the fervor around the Diablo controversy.
Absolutely. And they claim to have a bunch of, have talked to people internally at Blizzard. It's funny because I was so spent on all the Diablo talk post BlizzCon because I'd talked about it on like 50 shows, it felt like, and just shared my opinion way too many times. And I started to feel like, man, that's just overloaded. I don't want to think about it for a while, which actually resulted in kind of a weird thing I'll talk about later in the show for me, Diablo wise. But anyway, because of all of that, I thought, when I read this article, I ended up kind of focusing on stuff that was not so much talking about Diablo, even though the whole pinnacle of the thing was about that. Things like, Adham's role now, the incubator stuff, the games that are being worked on in secret, Blizzard being very pro mobile in terms of their, members of the team are really into playing mobile games. So they want to find a place for Blizzard. I think that's all super fascinating.
To expand on this just for a second, that was one of the things that there are many things that are concerning in the article, but that was one of the things that kind of made me more optimistic. It's the fact that according to Schreier, who again has apparently many, many sources in every part of the industry, he's been doing a lot of reporting on a lot of things and usually seems very professional in the way he does it.
Yeah.
I really like his work. But anyway, what he was saying was the desire for mobile games doesn't come from up top. It comes from the developers themselves who really like the mobile platform, who use it a lot, and who think we can bring something to that. So that was something that made me a little bit more optimistic about what they're going to be doing, because it's something they want to do and they think they can do well, not something that's mandated from whatever boss is telling them mobile is making money, make more of that.
Yeah, that's the impression I got as well. And also just, cultural shifts. There's a lot of talk going around about why Morheim really left. I mean, it's probably a confluence of issues, but part of that is he doesn't want, his thing is he wants to make great games and take care of his employees. That's kind of his two focuses. They talk about that in the article, and he's sort of beloved for that across the company. People like him for that. Patrick is an ex-Blizzard employee, although you were in Europe. Did you get that sense? Does that feel like a real thing to say that, Morheim had those kinds of accolades because he was a employees first, games first kind of guy, and that things may be shifting in a more corporate way? If that makes sense.
I mean, we were still employees, right? It wasn't like we're Morheim's family, but certainly in the corporate sense, I think there was a genuine care for the employees. And I've always felt, for rightly or wrongly, I've always felt that the DNA of Blizzard was very much imparted on the company by Morheim. And the reason why the company is what it is that Morheim had this guiding hand. And that's why maybe brilliant developers who did great things at Blizzard, when they weren't at Blizzard anymore, tried to do things that maybe didn't work as well. And maybe even some developers that did things before Blizzard that were cool ended up doing really cool things when they came at Blizzard. I think the corporate culture is an emanation from Morheim's personality and desires. That being said, in the article, Schreier describes a sentiment that Activision is kind of casting a shadow on the company now, and I'm guessing some people think, well, that's why Moheim is leaving. Blah blah blah. It might be. It might very well be because 27 years is a long time, and he was fine passing on the reins to someone else. And we'll see if that someone else can, you know, keep his method of doing things alive. What I will say, though. When I was there for 5 years from 2009 to 2014. Mm-hmm. And it was in Europe. It wasn't exactly the same. But already then, the merger with Activision was fairly fresh. And a lot of people, both inside and outside the company, I think, were thinking, I don't know how this is going to go. Activision is not known for its, you know... love of great art, and they want to make money as much as fast as possible. And so there were questions. I remember talking with my coworkers and going like, oh, so what do you think is going to happen? Blah, blah, blah. And to my surprise, I'm not saying this because I want to defend Blizzard. I really hope that doesn't come across that way. But to my surprise, I never really felt that influence of Activision in any way. And of course, I was removed from the top. But I think there's a pivotal time, and I've been talking about this in all of my shows, so I'm sorry if if you hear me saying this for the fifth time. There was a time in 2012 when Diablo had just launched, when the company's prospects weren't super positive. The incredible rise of WoW had stopped. StarCraft was not the most successful thing ever. Diablo had huge issues, and as we know now, Titan was not in a great shape. And I think if there was any time that Activision could have started demanding stuff, it would have been then. And I don't think they did. They reined in the Titan thing a little bit, I don't know, but we didn't see a major shift in the way Blizzard operates, or I don't think, and we felt it. And of course, they ended up coming out with Hearthstone and Overwatch and all of these things. Right. So if Activision didn't come in and shake up everything because, this is how you do games, at that point, when the prospects were dire, I really don't think they would do it now. And the reason why they don't, again, my suspicion, is because they know that Blizzard makes them a lot of money, right?
Right.
Blizzard makes lots of money by making games people want to buy, and then people buy a lot of them, and Activision is happy. Yeah. So maybe the things that are being described in the article are real. It's possible. Maybe it's also interpretation. Again, and sorry for going on for a long time, but I thought about it a lot, and I thought the article, again, was really well written and probably well sourced, and I think it's really interesting. But one of the things they say is, it's the first time Blizzard is cutting costs.
Yeah.
And that has to be Activision. And it's possible. But also, look at the company's next 18 months. The WoW expansion was just released. Diablo 4 obviously is not in the card for the next year. The games that are game as a service, Hearthstone, Overwatch, and Heroes, I still play Overwatch a lot, but let's be honest, it's getting a little bit long in the tooth. Sure. All of these games are, you know, they could benefit from, let's say they're not going to bring in a ton of additional money and a significant influx. So over the next 12 to 18 months, the company doesn't have a big release.
Right.
And StarCraft, I'm not even mentioning it. So I think it's probably healthy to think, where can we make sure we don't spend too much so that our developers have enough time to polish the games the way they should.
Right.
And one thing that they also say in the article is they are still hiring. So they're not cutting costs on that. They're hiring people to make sure they have the teams that can develop the game. So overall, I'm not super concerned. I think it's interesting, but I think the interpretation of it is easy to take at the extreme bad. And I'm not sure I would go that route.
There does seem to be, I agree. I'm not willing to go that far with it either, but, there were rumors of a hiring freeze. Apparently that's not true. There were rumors of profit sharing being cut. I don't know if that's been proven true or not.
That was ridiculous. Honestly, the profit sharing thing, it was like, oh, some employees are getting their pay cuts by 50%. It's like, what company that wants to retain its best talent literally cuts their pay by whatever, like 20%? Really?
Yeah, that
I would be very surprised if there was, like, maybe there's a reorganization of it. It's not bonuses anymore. It's included in your salary or something like that.
Right.
But it would be like momentously dumb to cut your best talent's pay by however much.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. Now, there is this one issue I have, or I guess I have a question about it, which is, it does appear that they continually, I mean, this is all just perception because I don't know how else to perceive it, but they seem to have all their best talent, their most talented developers, game runners, writers, all those guys seem to be on secret projects now. None of them seem to be, with the exception of Kaplan perhaps, seem to be in charge of all their mainline games that are currently running. And that's happened a lot. Every team has lost somebody, and in some cases multiple top-tier people, their best talent, and they've moved on to some secret that they don't tell us about. And I don't know what that means. You know, I don't know if that what that bodes for the company. If that's, it sounds like it's good for the new projects, but it, I think it has created concern in the community for the games they already play. That's not to say that, you know, Ian and others on WoW aren't wonderful, talented people, but it does make me wonder if one day we're going to get a big blog post, a big blue post from WatcherDev from Ian Hazzikostas going, yeah, I'm moving on to a cool new project I can't talk about at Blizzard. I'm excited.
Yeah, he seems like he's next in line, right? But yeah. This is also, I mean, you mentioned Kaplan. That happened to Kaplan.
Yeah.
It's just now we've seen the fruits of his labor, and he is now the public face of Overwatch. But right. he was the WoW guy for a long time. We knew him as a big figure in World of Warcraft, and then he just, poof, disappeared. What's Kaplan working on? What cave did they move him to?
Well, literally, I remember at the time he disappeared to work on Titan, which became Overwatch, of course, but however you want to say it, became Overwatch. I say that very flippantly. It's obviously more complicated than that, but he disappeared for all that time. And the next time we saw him, he had like the longest, gnarliest beard. Do you guys remember that? He just like,
yeah, it was like Tony Stark in Iron Man 1.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Jeff Kaplan built this in a cave.
Yeah.
With a box of scraps.
Who's the comic art writer? Alan, he wrote Watchmen. Alan Moore?
Alan Moore?
Yeah, Alan Moore does this.
The crazy hermit druid band?
Yes. That's what it reminded me of.
Alan Moore worthy beard? That's a tall order. You're completely right, Garrett. It wasn't just Kaplan. It was Pardo as well, who actually it didn't turn out so well for him at the company. But that was the leadership of WoW, and you're talking about the people who are now going off to secret projects. It's people like Stockton and Chilton and people like that who came up when the old leadership of WoW went off to do Titan, right? So right. I think it's completely natural. When you're at the top, you're like, okay, I have a name for myself. I'm renowned in the company. I know the right people. I want to do something new and exciting. I don't want to be working on WoW for the next 15 years of my life. And the people who are, you know, next in line come up and become the leads on that game. And it's exciting for them because it's a new position and it's a big property and it's a big opportunity. I think it's completely natural. I don't understand why that would worry anyone.
I think it just, we're talking about the Blizzard fan base, so everything worries them, but myself included. But it's easy to perceive it as, where are they taking all the best people? And you do forget that some of the best people are just either not notable because they don't make their face in front of everything the way the Blizzard does the top tier yet, or they just haven't shown themselves to be the next great minds at Blizzard. So you're right. There's a path for that, and it's probably not that big of a deal. But to have them all sort of just disappear and do stuff, it's a little disconcerting because we don't know what those things are. And we're not probably going to know for a very long time.
I'm sure a lot of people listening to this at Blizzard are wincing when we're saying, oh, the best people are doing this or that. I'm sure there are a lot of very good and very talented people. Your hair is fine, Garrett.
Is he fixing it? His hair is great. I like his hair.
I'll do whatever I want with my hair. Yeah, thank you very much.
You do what you want.
I'm a little, you know, I have a toddler. I get a little bit parenty sometimes.
That's fine.
I apologize.
Listen, you it's a glorious and you should never cut it. Go ahead, Patrick.
If you have best people, don't you want them working on the next things? Because you know that WoW and WoW's lifespan has already defied everyone's wildest expectations and dreams, right? But it's not going to be there forever. Overwatch and Hearthstone and Heroes aren't going to be there forever. You want to prepare what's coming next. And you want to prepare Diablo 4, and maybe you want to prepare whatever the core teams are working on, but you also want to prepare some new things.
I agree, but here's the thing. They need to, I think, as a company, do a better job of reassuring those who are currently playing and paying that their stuff is still matters. I just think that's an important PR thing. That everybody kind of feels that and doesn't feel the opposite of that. And lately, the Diablo announcement not helping, they have been feeling the opposite of that. And this article didn't help that at all.
We got into this a little bit on Into the Nexus last night, and I kind of summed it up the same way. I'm like, we're all freaking out, we're all overreacting, but I don't think Blizzard's really helping all that much. BlizzCon 2018 did not help. If anything, it poured gasoline on the fire.
Right.
But I think the key here is the fire was already there. People were already concerned. I think you guys expressed concern about Heroes every once in a while. Hearthstone certainly is constantly in the conversation. Overwatch, on my end, I'm getting to that point as well. I'm like, well, new characters are cool, but
what are you going to do? What are we doing here?
Yeah, I see Hearthstone and Overwatch having very similar states right now. They're almost in this holding pattern of, there's updates, and it's, I mean, you mentioned it, Scott, you said, they need to be better about reassuring us. And I really think that most teams haven't been failing too hard in reassuring us, except for Diablo. But Hearthstone and Overwatch is starting to get into that, because they are updating it, but it's nothing new. It's all just keeping the lights on. It's just the gas that keeps the engine running. They're not actually upgrading the engine.
Yeah.
In this, if I can, the metaphor of a car engine, not the actual game engine.
Right.
It's like, new heroes are expected in Overwatch and Heroes.
Yeah.
New cards are expected because it's a freaking CCG. You have to have new cards. So coming out of BlizzCon and being like, it's our third expansion of the year for the third BlizzCon in a row. Like, we knew this was coming. That's no surprise.
Yeah.
So it's all that's what's happening with those games. So they are supported and they are talking to us, but it's also, they're not blowing our minds.
No, they're kind of in a holding pattern kind of across the board. And I just think this is it's a unique place for Blizzard to be in their history, in that if you look at WoW, people are a little bored right now. I'm a little bored right now. I'll be honest, the game's not quite doing it for me. I'm not really logging in that much.
Switch factions coming in a couple of weeks.
No, I know, and I'm excited about the patch. I'm excited about what's coming with that, and yeah, I'll be back in for that. But I'm just hitting that place where it's like, and a lot of people, I kind of asked out on Twitter, just kind of loosely, how are people feeling? And there's a lot of general sort of the expansion not really doing it for me. There's the usual outrage about what systems they don't like or whatever. But then there's just people are just like, I just don't feel like logging in, so I unsubbed until the new patch or whatever. And so they're kind of at that normal place that they get around now anyway. So that's happening with WoW. With Heroes,
have you played the other faction yet?
What do you mean? The other faction?
Because I know right before BFA came out, you were just like, screw it, I'm going to drop $60 at the show. Have you played through the Alliance quest up to max level?
A little bit, but here's the problem. I didn't get to max level yet. Here's the problem. I went so nuts. This is my own doing, okay? I'll admit it. But I went so crazy with like three max level alts on the Horde side that I just burned out on questing. Like I can't look at another quest for a while. It's just like, can't do it. So that's where I'm at right now.
You did that to yourself. I just swapped over to the Alliance and started working through the campaign over there. And so I'm having a great time right now.
Yeah, no. And this is not to say that everybody's feeling this way, obviously. But they are in a bit of a pattern where we're waiting for the next big drop from them. Okay, so that's coming. That'll be exciting. Everything's good. But all the games are kind of in this mode right now. There's just a lot of sort of, okay, here's a map and a hero for Heroes. And Heroes is, a kind of a weird thing, because I think the game's actually really healthy right now and really as fun as it's ever been for me. I love playing Heroes of the Storm. But I you know, I worry about the back end. I worry about the money they're making. I worry about HTC not being talked about for next year.
Don't give that the
They're
time
just
of day.
Weirdly quiet. It's just a little quiet before then. Don't you think?
What other esports have we heard about? Have we heard about Overwatch League?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Do we think it's going to go away?
Yes,
no.
We have heard about it. We have heard.
We know when it's happening. We know we have new teams. Even Hearthstone Esports has gone through the 15th division of the
your
format.
Breaks. All they've said is it's coming back. They haven't told us how they're picking their players or what the format freaking is.
Oh yeah, they did, didn't they?
No, they didn't. There is no format announcement. All they said is, hey, the thing we've been using for years is going away. What are we switching to? We don't know.
Yeah, but at least they're switching.
There's an announcement saying they have like the three-stage thing with the online.
Yeah, that's
thing
not and a format. That's not how they're playing the game. They're like, hey, here's three leagues. One of them is going to include the best personalities in Hearthstone, but we're not going to tell you how we select them. We're probably just going to invite only, and it's going to be a super casual thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting.
At least they're saying something. HTC is not being talked about, period. Nothing. Zippo. So I would like even just some of that. And my point is, this is all besides the point. And we talk about this stuff at length on Core. I'm sure you guys do on ITN. I haven't heard the latest episode, but I'm sure you have been. So you can get that stuff there in detail. But it just feels like they're in a weird holding pattern across the board. And I don't think that that's unusual. It's just that this is Blizzard, and we expect something more out of that. There are plenty of companies in this stage or have been in this stage before. And you could say even some of Blizzard's games have been in this stage before. StarCraft's in perpetual this stage. But usually it's something else is popping, you know, like some other big thing is happening and then everything else is kind of, okay, whatever. But over here, it's really happening. At Blizzard right now, all of it's just kind of subdued at the moment.
It's kind of weird because they're all game as a service games, right? And you get a constant trickle, for lack of a better word, of new content. Whereas traditionally you would have a big title and then every couple of years you would have an expansion. And of course, the expansion is like, it signifies there's new stuff and a bunch of it come at the same time and everyone gets excited and jumps back in. I think game as a service kind of it's an effect of that business model that you don't get that big drop and you don't get that excited when it happens for everyone at the same time. So I wonder if the amount of work isn't the same, but you know, if every, I don't know, 2 years we got, let's say Overwatch came out in 2016. If in 2018 we got an expansion, quote unquote, with like what the six or seven characters that had been released in the interim released at the same time, it would have been a big event. And that would have been this year. So it would have been still fresh and exciting. Right. So I think it's a function of the way these games work. But on the other hand, I'm kind of hoping that all of these games seeming a little bit, not stale, but yeah, maybe stale is the right word, is a sign that they're not trying to extend them until the end of the world. They're trying to do whatever they can with them, but at the same time working on the next thing.
Yeah.
And we're not going to have Overwatch until, I mean, we might have it, but in that state until 2030. We're also going to have something else they will have put their entire energy in.
Yeah. That's a weird thing to think about, 2030. It's not as far away as it sounds. I don't disagree. They have to be working on what's next. And yes, they can't do things in perpetuity. But in some ways, Blizzard does. They're one of the only companies that supports their stuff forever. They still patch Diablo 2. They still put out patches for StarCraft 1 there. They're weird about that. They run versions of Battle.net that are ancient and shouldn't work anymore, but they do it anyway.
They're building Warcraft 3 so that you can play against people who are playing the original version.
Yeah, like they really like doing that. And part of me is like, yeah, dude, that's how it should be. You make a thing and then you stand behind that thing for the end of time. You only make 50% of the projects you start and you cancel the rest. That's because the ones you make are awesome and they're going to last forever. Like, that's kind of my thing with Blizzard, or has been for a long time. I'm not saying they're shifting away from that, but they are putting themselves in a kind of a weird corner. If they plan to do the sort of we support our stuff for everything, they got a lot of stuff to support now compared to what Blizzard used to be. It used to be, you know, 2-3 games. at any given time, and that was as much as you ever worried about. Now it's, you know, it's
well,
getting bigger
as
by the day.
Each piece of stuff is, as long as each piece of stuff is making money, it's fine. They can have, you know, they already have, what, 10 teams? Mm-hmm. Like, there's teams 1 through 5, right? The traditional core game teams, which are full-fledged teams of at least a few dozen people each. And in the case of WoW, I'm guessing way more than that.
Right.
Even team one is split in two, right? There's the Heroes team and then the StarCraft team, which is doing God knows what when they're not updating StarCraft itself.
Well, they're doing get those, what do you call them, packs, the... What do they call it?
Yeah,
those?
The commander packs. Stuff, but I doubt the full team is working.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so either.
Unless it's been disbanded and it's only the Heroes team now. I don't know. But it's 5 full traditional teams. And then you have the small mobile game teams. Apparently, the incubator is almost entirely, if not entirely, mobile. But that's like we have Stockton's team, Chilton's team, Browder. Who else?
Alan DeBerry, who just left Heroes to go work
DeBerry,
on some secret.
Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Dodds also go to incubator?
I don't believe Dodds is with Blizzard anymore.
Oh, I thought he.
Oh, maybe he left.
I had that in my head too.
Just left Blizzard.
Okay, I had that in my head as well.
Well, actually. I mean, that's essentially 10 studios inside the studio, developing stuff. I think they can keep updating the things they're doing and making other things forever, as long as they're making money. And I think they're still making money.
Yeah, they seem to be. I mean, they're going to be okay. Blizzard's got a lot of money. I have faith in the future of all of this. I am certainly, as I made very clear our last episode, not in that bandwagon of burn it all down. Blizzard announced a mobile Diablo game, but I'm not so naive to not recognize that it feels a little funky right now. I'm optimistic though. I don't think that this isn't like spelling the end. This isn't BioWare being minimized down to some weird husk of its former self by EA. I don't think there's a comparison there, at least not yet. So people jumping to that conclusion probably shouldn't jump so far. Just jump a little less. Just a little less.
Also, just to save some emails, it looks like the fate of Eric Dodds is uncertain whether he's still with Blizzard or not.
Oh, geez. That's a strange piece of current employment information. I wonder what that means. That's weird.
I just ran a quick Google search. I can't find a yay or nay in either direction.
I thought he was still there, but I don't know. What do I know? I don't know nothing. I do know this. Let's talk about Sour Fang for a minute. Just for a sec. Now, Garrett, I know you've been working on a little side project about this.
It just went up this morning. It's out.
Oh, good. We'll make sure people know where to go to get it. So here's the deal. You have thoughts, predictions, many people do, about what's going on with Sour Fang, where things are headed. We should probably also at least touch on the Sylvanas Wrathgate stuff. I don't know if that's a spoiler or not. Do we have to warn for that?
Is it a spoiler about a retcon to something that happened almost 10 years ago now?
Yeah.
How long has it been?
I think it's fine.
All right, it's probably fine. So let's talk about the Sour Fang thing first, since it's sort of fresh on your mind. What was the point of what you put together, and what was your conclusion about him, his storyline, and where you think things are headed?
Oh, well, yeah. So I've been doing lore talks over on the R2-T2 solo show I do, and so the most recent one is about Sour Fang, and it starts to get, you know, obviously dip into Sylvanas stuff a bit, because modern Sour Fang is very intertwined with the character of Sylvanas. It all came out of the Wrathgate thing. It's kind of hard for me to talk about that without talking about the other.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we haven't had a show in a while because you were sick and BlizzCon travel. But it seems like they're retconning Wrathgate to be Sylvanas' plan all along, and it was dropped rather casually in an interview, and there's been no further clarification since.
It was a Frazarabi, right? Or a Fraza?
Yeah.
I never say it right. I never say his name right.
Actually, I think he did a pretty damn good job.
Sorry, Alex. I couldn't even do it on stage. That was so bad. But yeah, no.
Alex.
Yeah, he's the one that let it slip, and it kind of came out, but then bombshelled. It was like everybody's like, "What the crap? Are you kidding?" That Sylvanas ordered the attack on the Wrathgate thing. That whole thing was her.
Yeah, I think
this
it was a Eurogamer
feels
interview.
Feels like a retcon, as you were saying, right? That wasn't the impression we had before.
No. Not at all. So it was up until this point, the canon is that Futurus acted alone and revolted against Sylvanas with a subsect of the Forsaken that wanted to overthrow her. They didn't think she was doing enough to kill the Lich King and whatnot. But then Fraziabi is just like, oh yeah, no, it was, you know, the Blight, the Wrathgate, it was all Sylvanas' thing. And it's like, well, the Blight was, we know that's canon, that the whole reason the Blight started being crafted by the apothecaries in the Undercity was under the order of Sylvanas. But to our knowledge, as players of World of Warcraft, the atrocities committed at the Wrathgate was 100% Verimothris and Putrus.
Yeah, Putrus gets up there going, you think we had forgotten, you think we had forgiven, and did his whole thing. And I thought, well, there's your guy. There's your man. He did it. Nobody else did it. But they're retconning this in a way that I don't feel too bad about, because it was never explicitly said that she didn't have anything to do with it. So they're just now saying, oh, well, it's all back channel stuff, and she totally was responsible. I'm okay with it. It's fine.
God,
it's fine. You're not. Tell me why it sits wrong with you.
Well, I haven't exactly kept it a secret that I'm not in love with the direction of Sylvanas' character in BFA. Yeah. I think it's one note. I think it's too much in line with what we already went through with Garrosh. And also, I never saw Sylvanas as purely evil, and they just seem to be writing her as purely evil. I get a lot of pushback from that every time I mention it. You know, half the internet seems to be like, oh, she's totally purely evil. What have you been playing? And I'm like, no, I've always saw her as a master tactician and rather pragmatic about the Forsaken's plight. I would also think that because of her tortured past with Arthas, that she wouldn't walk down basically the exact same path as the Lich King.
Yeah.
But certainly that retcon paints her in a purely evil brush with a
right, and so I look at it as
she's always been a terrible despot, and,
Right? And that's what I see it as. So I see it as, oh, everyone who doesn't like the direction we're taking Sylvanas, well, we're just going to make this retcon so it was the plan all along. It's like, well, no, that wasn't the story.
I mean, it is a way of beefing up her evil all the time thing, but that's kind of your core point, is she's not, or she hasn't.
So whatever the case is, and then it just reignites my annoyance at all of the work they did to explain her strategy about taking Teldrassil and dividing the factions, and then she just goes, you know what? Screw it, burn it, just burn it. Yeah. Let's just throw away everything I planned, and just be a crazy villain.
So with him saying that, though, we're not going to get any explicit explanation of this in the game, as far as we know, right? That's the thing,
and that's why I'm like, I'm curious if. Is it a retcon? Was he just speaking in shorthand? What he really meant was, well, the Blight was her idea, not Wrathgate. I
that's what I'm wondering. Like, maybe all this is to do about nothing. And I don't know if he's had a follow up on any of it, but it's not like, you know, he and back in the day Metz and those two would screw up stuff all the time. Don't never forget Redshirt. Like, they would forget stuff. And I wonder if that's just one of these deals. Maybe. But I don't think the game suddenly in patch 8.1 is going to come out and go, Nathanos, remind me, what time was it when I announced I was going to take down the Wrathgate? Like, they're not going to do that. That's a terrible impression of Sylvanas. I can't really do her, but anyway.
I like your Sylvanas. Yeah, so that's kind of my thought on the whole situation. And
how does that play into the Saurfang thing then?
Just that Saurfang, since BFA, now Saurfang is a main character. Yeah. I mean, he is being poised as Sylvanas' kryptonite. I mean, because we just had BlizzCon, we just had that new cinematic where Anduin lets him go. I don't want to get into 8.1 spoilers, but we know Saurfang pops up again in 8.1.
Yeah.
And so I'm just curious, you know, whether or not I'm on board with the direction of Sylvanas or not. Is it going to be this cut and dry? Is it just Azeroth versus Sylvanas? Is it just Saurfang versus Sylvanas? How does it end? Is it just Saurfang wins and becomes the war chief? But Saurfang's been looking for an honorable death. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
He has been through so much. His son was killed twice, once alive and then again as a death knight. You know, his wife died before he even walked through the dark portal. And he's committed a lot of atrocities, and to the point where honor is the most important value to him. So that's why I'm looking at him like, it seems like they're going for a pretty black and white. Sylvanas is evil. Saurfang is good. Eventually Saurfang and Heroes of Azeroth will defeat Sylvanas. But I would like it not to be so cut and dry.
Yeah,
I think it's so obvious that there's a good chance they're playing us and they're going to, you know, swerve at the last second.
What do you think that's what do you think, Patrick, that swerve will take?
I have no idea. But it's really hard because everyone and their mother is trying to figure out what Sylvanas could do that isn't being defeated by basically Saurfang and the Alliance. And I don't know, because she can't be like, saved by the fact that, oh, she was actually controlled by some kind of demon. That would be even more obvious and on the nose and disappointing. So there has to be something. Maybe she redeems herself by doing something heroic at the end. Maybe, I have no idea. Maybe Saurfang makes her understand the mistakes of her ways and she stays War Chief, but with that heavy past now. Or
what if she's walking around? Here's what I think she's gonna do. What if she's walking around Grimash Hold with all her friends, you know, and she's just sitting there pontificating about the future of the Horde, going, yes, Nathanos, rub my shoulders as I think of the things, blah blah blah. And then all of a sudden goes, oh my. And Nathanos is like, Dark Lady, what's the matter? And she goes, Oh no. And then falls to the ground. And then alien style, an old god comes out of her chest. Just a big, big, big gelatinous, multi-armed, freaking looking Cthulhu unit just pops out and goes, it was me the whole time, you dipshits. And then we find out it was an old god. What if that's it?
No, but that's what I said. It's too obvious.
Only if the old god actually says, you dipshits.
You dipshits. I got you again.
That's the only universe where I'm happy with that. Yeah, I don't know. I think a good twist would be to have Saurfang meet his honorable end that he's been looking for so long now.
Yeah.
But as far as Sylvanas, I don't know. I just hope it's not that she's evil. She's a boss. We kill her. All right, that's a wrap, everybody. Good BFA. On to the next expansion.
That would be so garish. They've said she's not garish. I think they're going to find a way to have her unite the Horde and stay as the War Chief of the Horde somehow and have everyone accept her as that.
The other character I really want respected here is Vol'jin, who made the call to make her War Chief.
Yeah.
And I already thought Vol'jin was so sidelined as War Chief. They did very little with him while he sat in the throne.
Yeah.
And then they kill him. He makes Sylvanas War Chief and she just goes nuts and just goes on a warpath.
Well, they say in 8.1, we're expecting a ton of Vol'jin follow-up. Yes. What that takes the form of, we don't know. But yeah, I agree with you that I'd like to have more of that.
And so I really like the character of Vol'jin. I think he's too smart for his own good. So I'm not in the camp that he was like, that Von Samdi one-upped him and was like, oh yeah, you should make her War Chief because she's gonna kill so many people, it means more souls for me. I'm not on that bandwagon.
I don't know. I data mined 8.1 and it says his new name is One-Zupti. They've one-zupped him.
No. But what is, I think Vol'jin would have seen through that.
Yeah. Maybe. So. Well, he was missing a tusk. You're a little off balance, you know? The thing broke off in the deal.
Literally.
Yeah. That would hurt, by the way.
Your head is leaning to one side.
It's one of the things I always think about with trolls. They fall forward on the cement and they are toast. Anyway, 8.1 is going to fill a lot of these holes for us. We'll find out more, but I love talking story and glad we were able to do a bit of that here. Nighthawk Pro Gaming from Netgear. I have one of these routers. It's fantastic. How fantastic? It's rated 2018's top performing gaming router by PC Gamer and IGN. There's really no question that online gaming demands a stable and low latency connection. You've all learned that over time, right? Running multiple connected devices will cause network congestion. That's just the way it is, and most gateways simply can't handle that. Switching your existing gateway or router to an XR500 gaming router will improve your online gaming connectivity. It's the easiest way to improve your online gaming experience, and it has the biggest impact. I found this to be true. Life got better for me. You shouldn't have to compete with other online services. Or devices, rather, for bandwidth. Save the competition for the game. This router creates an express lane just for your gaming. It gives you incredible speed and no lag. With the high-performance gaming router, you have complete control over your gaming experience. The XR500 is purpose-built to lower your ping, stabilize your connection, and help you game at incredible speeds. Keep your game alive with features like geo-filtering, traffic prioritization, and device management, to name a few. The Nighthawk Pro Gaming Router transforms your gaming experience and gives you the power to win. Visit netgear.com/MPG. That's netgear.com/MPG. And learn how you can join the No Lag crew. Now, let's do this. Talk about what's going on around the rest of Blizzard. At least briefly, anyway. Heroes of the Storm got some crazy matching bonus changes. I really like this change. It happened this week. When you go choose your characters, you are rewarded with extra XP if you choose characters that have this little green up arrow on them. And it means that what you're doing is, if you're choosing that character, you're helping the matching system fill out roles that are currently undersupplied. So oftentimes, as you might imagine, support and healer characters have this little green thing on them because people aren't generally playing those as much. I love them, so it's great free XP for me. But any character that's kind of in that, like yesterday I noticed Cho'Gall's got his thing above his head. Thrall had it above his head for one match. They're trying to improve that matchmaking, and one of the ways they're doing it is saying, hey, some of these roles are being undershown here, so could you choose one and we'll give you some XP? I actually really like it. I think it's good.
The role matchmaking is new in Heroes, right? You couldn't matchmake. I guess you could with a character.
Well, yeah. I mean, you were, and they haven't put into the game the role changes, like calling things ranged assassin, melee assassin. Like, none of that's happened yet. But this is in line with that coming. Certainly, this feels like a step in that direction. Also, the Sylvanas rework they just announced and showed in video form is absolutely an attempt to move her further from the now going away specialist role and putting her more firmly in ranged assassin, where she was kind of already excelling anyway. And that is her new role. So those roles are still to come, and we're seeing a lot of stuff leaning in that direction. But this was just a nice way of rewarding you for trying or playing characters that you may otherwise not think about or forgot that they exist, because it's a huge roster these days, and it benefits the team comps. It benefits you because you get more XP. It's just a good way to do it. I like it.
It's very similar to the bonuses that tanks and healers see in LFG and World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Actually, that's a very good point. That's exactly the kind of bonus you get. And also,
I left DPS out of that.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate it, Mr. Tankman. Also, Diablo 3 is alive and well in the Johnson household. I just want to throw this out real quick. When I got back from BlizzCon and all of that talk about Diablo, aside from all the fights and the blah and the this and the other thing, it mostly just drove me to want to play Diablo 3 a lot. And that is what I have been doing. My time with Blizzard Games has been, and almost gaming period, has been running greater rifts and getting new set pieces and finally working on my necromancer in a proper way and knocking out, you know, faster times and greater rifts and all this stuff. I love Diablo 3. I always will. And I'm playing it again now as if it's new. And I don't know what the hell that's about, except all that talk about Diablo just made me hungry for Diablo. So I've been playing it. And I've been noticing a lot of friends in there lately. So something's going on there. And it's not the new season, because there's nothing really big deal with the new season going on. So for whatever it's worth, knee deep in it again.
It's almost like any type of press, even negative, is good press.
Sometimes, especially when it comes to just reminding you how much you already love a thing, and I already loved that thing. Hearthstone.
Hey, I see in the notes, before you move on to Hearthstone, I see you're not talking about the Diablo 4 rumors from that article, Schreier article.
No. What do you, what points do you want to talk about?
A couple of things that he seems to have figured out. There were two iterations of Diablo 4. The first one was helmed by Josh Mosquera, who came in basically to do the console version of the game and then took over when Jay Wilson left and delivered Reaper of Souls. And that version was very Dark Souls-y, apparently.
Yeah, it was called Hades, was the code name Hades, right?
Yeah. Hades, exactly. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, when Mosquera left, that version ended up not being satisfactory, and they canceled it or rebooted the work on it. And the new version is, what's the code name?
Oh, I forgot.
Fenrir. Very Norse. Yeah. And that is one of the design pillars, is embrace the darkness.
Yeah.
So they're kind of going back to a more gritty,
bloody, blah, blah. Yeah,
Diablo. And it has a lot of, as we suspected, multiplayer game as a service type thing. They haven't decided if it's going to be a third person from behind the shoulder or the traditional isometric top view. But it's been now in the works for a couple of years since the reset in 2016. So that's probably why they didn't want to announce it at BlizzCon, because they weren't sure it would be ready soon enough.
Yeah, they talk about a lot of people saying
work is underway.
People talked in the article, anonymous people at Blizzard, saying things like, we are still all very sore or tender from the Titan cancellation, and are more wary these days of announcing anything new until we're sure about things. And
Yeah, for me, that's not the reason. For me, the Diablo 3 announcement is way more, plays more into this, because Titan wasn't announced. It was, and games get canceled every day at Blizzard, it seems, but you know, it's not the first one that was canceled. However, Diablo 3, announced in 2008 and released in 2012, made a huge mark on the company. And I felt this when I was there. It was like, never again. We do not announce something if we're not close to releasing it, or at least like have a beta, open beta out within a year. And we've seen that before.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
For They've Hearthstone, it was playable quickly after. Overwatch, the beta was within a year, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it was playable that day at BlizzCon, like all that stuff. Sure.
I remember.
So what that means is that Diablo won't be even in beta within a year. It might be announced next year, but that puts the game out 2 years away. Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, StarCraft was the same way. There was a very long wait between the announcement of StarCraft 2 and its release.
Yeah. I don't do that anymore is what I think.
Yeah, and that was kind of the thing that kind of annoyed me about the article a little bit was... Because maybe not. Did it make mention of the rumored canceled Diablo 4?
Oh, yeah, they did. And this really rubbed my cheese.
So that's what annoys me about it, is if you're going to put forward the information that they still can't decide on what camera angle this game is played by, but also mention a rumored Diablo 4 announcement that was pulled from BlizzCon. That makes no sense to me. If they can't decide if it's going to be third person or isometric, there's no universe where we get a trailer at BlizzCon 2018.
Probably not.
What do you show?
Yeah.
Just a cinematic, I guess?
Yeah, and it were a big logo and a number or something, which I still say they probably could have done and gotten away with. But
I disagree.
I think you put up a big four and you say, just so you know where we're... Here's what they did. This is all they needed to do with that damn thing. They just say, here's our cool... I know, but all they got to do is say, we got this cool mobile game coming out, by the way, in the interim, but guess what else is happening? Lights go down. Number four, and it's some bit breathing fire, and then the crowd goes nuts and no one's talking about it, and no one talks about the mobile thing anymore except for like, well, that was the thing they announced. I'm telling you, that would have fixed it. That would have been it.
They don't do that though. They always have at least the cinematic.
We get
back to the Diablo 3 trauma. The game is not ready to be released. They might reset it again. They might, and they don't want to announce something and then have 4 years of nothing until it's released.
They can still say we're working on a thing, though, I think.
Well, I mean, obviously, yes, we agree that they should have. Yeah. Now that we see how it went, I think we'll agree on that. But
just talking about this makes me want to go play 3 right now.
They should have handled it differently. I'm not sure they should have announced Diablo 4 when they're not ready to. And also, I can't remember who said this, but it feels, for the team itself, it feels kind of shitty if your game is announced just to offset the disappointment of another game, right? Yeah. It's like, no, we want to do this right. We want to announce it and have a big party and have it playable on the show floor. They always do that.
Right.
So anyway,
the whole thing's just weird. Here's the thing I will say, though. Very bummed to hear that there was a second expansion after Reaper of Souls planned that got scrapped. That really bums me out. I think that would have done well. It would have sold like crazy. It explains why Kanai's Cube and a whole bunch of systems that entered the game later, it explains to me that those were probably part of a new expansion. And instead, they piecemealed them out as patch content, which I still appreciate that they got that stuff in there, but really, really bummed there was no full expansion. I would love to be playing
that. If that is
now.
True, I think it is the biggest screw-up in modern
Blizzard
history.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And it would have sold like crazy. Reaper was a huge success, and so would have a follow-up have been. They would have made... And that came apparently from the top, according to the article, but anyway... That article, man.
I think they're talking about a sentiment that the execs didn't trust them to fix Diablo 3, which I'm sure some people felt because the next expansion was canceled before Reaper was released and was the huge success we know. But on the other hand, we don't know how successful Reaper was compared to the, however, you know, 12 million copies Diablo 3 sold. They should have
uncancelled it after Reaper landed, because Reaper was embraced by the player base. Now I don't know about sales numbers.
I think one of the issues they saw was that with StarCraft, you sell the first game, and whatever you call an expansion afterwards, even if you sell it and it doesn't require the previous titles, it's not gonna sell as much. It's gonna, you know, the player base is gonna trickle down, is gonna reduce over time, because it's labeled an expansion, and people who haven't played the thing before most probably will not be interested in it. So I'm wondering if the idea wasn't, you know what, this model is kind of going away. Maybe we should just look at the next thing and go, you know, more game as a service type thing, which might or might not be a mistake. I don't know, but right. I think I understand the rationale behind it. Maybe it's not just you guys suck, you can't make a game, so we're going to cancel your expansion because we hate you.
Right. I don't think that's... I mean, I don't know. They've sold 30 plus million copies of 3, and I think they would have easily...
That's across all consoles, all titles. 30 million is if you count Diablo and Reaper as one copy.
I'm just saying Reaper would have been... At 10 million sold, easily they could have done that. That's still a very successful, profitable game.
I don't think it sold 10 million. I don't think Reaper
sold
10 million.
I'll bet you Reaper Souls sold more than 10 million, but I don't know how we verify this. There's no way to verify
it. Does it matter?
Yes,
it
does matter.
30 million of anything is successful, right?
It just matters.
Why are we even nickel and diming this between the two titles? Like, that's an insane amount of units moved.
Yeah, you're right.
That's my point. They shouldn't have canceled it, is my main point. F you guys for canceling it, you damn executive buttholes. I made the wrong choice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Scott, that I would have liked them to uncancel it. I agree. Pacific Rim.
I'm
here,
with you as well.
But like, we have no idea if that was even possible. Like,
I should have mentioned we don't allow Pacific Rim quotes on the show. It's a terrible movie.
Oh, I guess I have to leave.
It's a bad movie. It's
a wonderful movie.
It is a terrible film.
It's an okay movie. It is what Transformers should have been.
All right, I like it better than Transformers. I'll give you that. I haven't seen the second one. How is it? How's that second one?
Not good.
Okay. Specific good. Rim,
don't,
they
don't,
call it.
Don't watch it.
Okay. That's Pacific Rim. By the time people go for the second time, they can get screwed like that. All right, what are we doing now? Hearthstone. Is anything happening over there?
Rastakhan's Rumble, new expansion, drops on Tuesday.
Oh, sweet. I'm not going to buy a bunch of decks this time.
There are bananas cards coming in the set.
Yeah.
Just crazy card designs.
So is everyone excited? I mean, are players stoked? Like, where's the brain
actually,
share?
After BlizzCon, we were all kind of like, yeah, it's just third expansion. Didn't get nothing really surprising. But now that we've seen the cards, I feel the tone is really, really back on the upswing, which is surprising because Artifact just came out this week.
Yeah.
But. Folks seem stoked.
Oh, yeah. Artifact is out. And very expensive, it turns out, if you really want to play
it.
Yeah,
a lot of us kind of forgot about it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is it expensive?
I mean, you know, if you want to get the best cards and build the best decks, it's...
They're walking back some of it. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's a card game. All card games are relatively expensive to play.
Yeah.
So. But is it more expensive than Hearthstone, I guess, is the question I'm interested
in. My mind, yes. I haven't really sat down and done the math.
The estimates I've seen, some people have done the math, and the estimates I've seen put it way above any other digital card game right now in terms of
it seems
cost.
More in line with Paper Magic, which if you want to play constructed decks can get pretty damn expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, so can you sell stuff between players?
Yes.
Which is
a huge part of it.
To where the powerful cards can.
Yeah, like one. Apparently, the most. I read this morning. The most powerful card in the game, and I couldn't tell you what it is, but is currently more expensive for someone to try to pick up in some way than if you paid for everything in the game and got it all. So, to put it lightly, the stuff is already skyrocketing on that little player market.
But, it just came out. It kind of remains to be seen. And it also depends on how you want to play the game. I would assume that if you want to play limited formats, it's significantly more accessible.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too.
That's the only way I play Magic. I don't play Constructed Magic. It's more money than I want to spend. I just play limited.
Yeah. And I think they've made it pretty clear that they want that to be a thing. So, I mean, I wish Valve nice success there because I think it's good for Blizzard to have somebody else doing well in that space. Everybody else is sort of, you know, middling around while Blizzard sort of owns the digital CCG. And I don't know. It's good to have competition. So good luck to them. Overwatch continues to be Overwatch. You shoot people in it. It's a good time.
Yeah, I think, you know, that comes back to what we were talking about. It's kind of a known quantity at this point.
Yeah.
They did change a couple of things that people were complaining about. There's Seagull, who's a very well-known player, who published a video saying the game is very frustrating because the hard counters are very hard. Mm. And so if you know that there's character X in the game, then you can't play character Y because you're just going to get destroyed. And they fixed a few things that hopefully addresses that. So I guess they were already aware of that issue. We'll have to see how it turns out. But Overwatch, as you put it, continues to be Overwatch. It's still fun, and it's not changing in any significant way.
Right. I would agree. Hey, real quick, someone in the chat says, no talk about the tournament changes in Hearthstone. Are we just skipping right to Overwatch? Didn't we mention it earlier? We talked about it earlier a little bit.
Rewind when I got really heated because I'm annoyed by the announcement.
Yeah, because in your mind, it's a non-announcement. Like, it's just a...
Patrick's apology earlier that he says the same things across multiple shows, I just got into this. Actually, got into the Nexus of all places last night when we talked about everyone losing their minds over HGC not being announced, which I think is absurd.
Yeah.
I think the reason the announcement came, I would say this is a half-baked announcement. I think the reason we got a half-baked announcement is to alleviate some of the stresses we're seeing be put on professional HGC players. Mm-hmm. Because the Heroes tournament hasn't been announced, and we have heard from certain players that sponsor deals are on hold, so nobody's coming into the team because HGC hasn't been announced yet. So I like to think that we got this kind of half-baked Hearthstone announcement just so we know something is coming, even though we don't know how players will be picked for what they're calling the new Premier League, and we have no idea what the frickin' format is that they'll be playing.
I like it. Your adjectives say it all, because you got to add a frickin' on there. I love it. It shows how shows how happy you are at the end.
Get hyped for this thing. How are they playing the game? We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know what they're doing. Hyped. Yeah. I think that's really funny. All right. Well done, everybody. We'll now close that by doing this now. Where is it? Oh, I got to play this. Hold on a second. Okay, here you go. Here, right here. Oh, no, it didn't work. Okay, let's try it again.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, time for the Town Crier. It's a quick email from a listener. He sent this to theinstance@gmail.com. It came from Santiago B. I love that name. Just rolls off the tongue. Says, I recently started playing again, and I haven't logged in since 2011. That would have been Miss, right? No, that would have still been Cataclysm, because 2011 is when they announced Miss of Pandaria. Anyway, I've had a blast leveling from 1 to 99 so far, just reached Legion content. My old main was a solo NE hunter on the Alliance, and now I'm charging alongside friends for the Horde on Lips. I don't know what that means. Lips? Lips. Must be a server.
On the lips?
It just says on lips. I don't know.
Well, they say for the Horde all the time.
Oh.
We all know those people.
Oh, meaning it's people on his lips. Saying for the Horde is on his lips. I got it. I guess. Anyway, don't go near his lips is the point. I'm not one for role playing, but I'm trying to go for a barbarian look for my warrior. Little to no armor, but a lot of the pieces I want for transmog are leather or mail. I haven't found a reason, nor do I know why I can only transmog plate pieces. I mean, the whole point of transmog is to have the freedom in my appearance. If so, why can't I use a couple of cloth pieces to look like a Ronin samurai or leather harness with a single shoulder pauldron for a barbarian look. Love to hear your opinions or reasons, Santiago B. So this got asked at the WoW Q&A, but only briefly touched upon. And it was, the answer came from Ian. I think it was the Q&A. I mean, I was there. Anyway, somewhere, now I don't remember where he answered it, but at some point he was talking about, it may have been the What's Next panel, but anyway, talked about how transmog is there, obviously, to enhance your ability to customize your character and all that, and they're very happy with the way it went. Oh, you know, it was Chris Robinson who talked about it, I think. They wanted to stick to class-based what you can wear for lore reasons was their answer. But I am of the opinion, and I had asked the question, why can't I go get some priest stuff for my hunter? I want to wear cloth all day or whatever. It seemed like they were sort of open to the idea, but had no plans. So I don't really have a good answer for this other than to say Blizzard's not doing it for what they call lore reasons, and I don't know what the problem is, though. Like, it should be easy to just turn it on. There are plenty of cloth-wearing orcs out there. There's no reason why an orc couldn't wear cloth or whatever the combination is, and only being able to wear plate does limit your options. So I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? It does feel like it's a little limited that way. I mean, it's not limited if you don't care, because all of the stuff for your character is there, but if you want to mix and match, you're kind of stuck with your proficiencies.
Yeah, I used to be of the mindset that it didn't bother me much, and that I liked that there was at least still some sort of restriction from almost a like old school RPG sense. But the more we get things like heritage armor, the argument becomes harder to make, because then that's armor that anyone can wear.
Oh, good point. I hadn't thought about that. I mean, they could limit some of that stuff, though, right? Like, they don't have to make it so that heritage dwarf armor is a thing you can transmog into. Maybe you have to wear that stuff.
I mean, that's the whole point, though, of heritage armor, right? It's like anyone can get it and, you know, represent their race.
I hadn't thought about that. That's true. I don't know, Patrick.
I think there's a little bit of a... I understand the intent being, well, there's this really iconic piece of mage armor. And when you see someone wearing this, you know it's a mage, and it's kind of representative of the class. So I think that's where it comes from. And heritage armor is a little bit different because it's representative of the race. And it's not like another race can wear that piece of armor. So there's a little bit of exclusivity, even though it's like, you know, transversal rather than horizontal or vertical.
Yeah.
Something.
Transversal.
but yeah, no, I understand the frustration it generates as well. I don't have a strong opinion on either. I understand both sides, but if they tomorrow said, well, from starting today it's fine, you can wear whatever you want, I wouldn't be super upset, I guess.
Yeah, I'd be okay with
it. I understand why they're doing it.
Chat room made a better, let's see, it was Bondo Contry says, class fantasy, that's the term they answered with, not lore reasons.
Right.
It was class fantasy is what they said, so.
What I am impatiently awaiting is, let me transmog my damn fist weapon at something that doesn't look stupid.
Okay, this is a deal. This is a thing that this is one of the big hangups I have with demon hunters generally. Well, I have other hangups, like let me be a... other kind
a
of
tall
elf.
Race.
Let me be a different elf, please. you and I have talked about this before. Fist weapons can't be transmogged and to other things but fist weapons, yet swords and glaives can be interchangeably transmogged. It makes no freaking sense. Let us turn our fist weapons into a damn sword, for hell's
And they've
sakes.
Already said that they're working on this, but that I've just wanted to just throw it back out there again.
Oh, it's
I can't
obnoxious.
Wait for this. I'm still sick of fist weapons. Please get it here sooner than later.
It is obnoxious across I hate it. And I really like my demon hunter, and so it pisses me off every time I play him that I have. Sometimes I've got one fist weapon and one glaive, and that's dumb. It sucks. I don't want it to be both fist weapons, because I don't like fist weapons. They look stupid. Eh, whatever. Anyway, thanks for the email. Santiago B. If you would like to send an email like him, you can. theinstance@gmail.com. That's theinstance@gmail.com. Now, before we go, this is the time of year where lots of roundups happen, especially in the world of video games. Patrick, I know you got some cool stuff lined up. Tell people where they can get that, what they should watch for, and where to go.
You could go to frenchspin.com to find Pixels, which is a show about gaming in general, so not just Blizzard games, but tons of stuff. I actually played some VR on PlayStation VR recently, and I talk about it on the latest episode, so go check that out. And if you want even more Blizzard news, if you're hungry for more shows about Blizzard games, you can go check out the Icy Veins podcast, which I host with the team at that site every couple of weeks. So go check out Icy Veins as well.
Nice. Garrett, anything going on this week you want to mention?
Gonna be quite a bit of Angry Chicken going down next week because of the Hearthstone launch. It's looking like we may be streaming 3 days in a row starting on Monday. We haven't nailed down exact times yet, but just tune in to twitch.tv/amovetv for that, or just subscribe to the Angry Chicken. And obviously, I literally just a couple hours ago put out my Sour Fang episode of my solo show R2T2, which you can find by searching for R2-T2 wherever podcast can be found.
So nice.
Also look that up.
I am going to link to it in today's show notes. So if you're already over on the Instance page at theinstance.net, in today's show notes, I'll have a link to that episode. You guys should check it out. He's doing good stuff with that, and it's worth listening to. All right. I think that's about it. I think we're almost done here. Thanks, everybody, for watching, listening, hanging out with us, otherwise just being cool dudes. If you want to find more stuff, head on over to theinstance.net. Plenty of shows. Also connected to that there on the Frog Pants sites. Check that out. Instance Show on Twitter. Not Patrick. Scott Johnson. Garrett Art. More shows like this at frogpants.com, like I already said. It's going to do it for us. For me, for Patrick, for Garrett. We'll see you next time.
Bye.